All right. This morning, we will bring to conclusion the seminar series that we started a few weeks ago, Life at the Intersection. Shall we pray? Lord, as we go through your word this morning, breathe upon your word. Speak to us clearly and expressly. Let there be an anointing upon the speaker and the hearer. Let us hear you and not man. Lord, direct us, instruct us. Lead us, Lord. Fire into our spirit, courage to move forward in our different endeavors. Let there be a spirit that leaps upon us this morning as we hear your word. Baptize us by your word and by the spirit of courage this morning. Let there be something in us that is provoked unto good works as we hear your word. In Jesus' mighty name, and the people of God say big, amen. Amen. Life at the intersection. Life at the intersection. You remember a few weeks ago we started with life at intersection one, what to do when you really don't know what to do. And then in week number two, we went to how to win back your family without losing your mind. And last week, we looked at someone please help. I'm too busy to breathe. And those messages are available on our website, by the way. And I've had a couple of people come to me who were not able to make it to church, who were able to get blessed by what was uploaded. So thank God for that, because the word of the Lord is always having an impact, whether live or recorded. Today, we're going to be concluding with this. Where it bends is not where it ends. Please say it with me. Where it bends is not where it ends. And we're just going to start with a couple of slides, and then I'm going to be zeroing in on what I believe is the key message that I believe the Lord wants to pass across to us today. And I believe it's not just going to be the message, it's also going to be, there's going to be a spirit behind it that is going to leap upon us and is going to drive us forward to accomplish what he has in mind for us. You remember we started by defining life. The metaphors that are stated in the scriptures. We say that there are so many metaphors that people use to describe life. Some people describe it as a dance. Some people describe it as a parade. Some people describe it differently, as a struggle, you know. But there are four ways that the Bible describes life. And we said life is described four different ways. Life is a test. Life is a trust. Life is a temporary assignment, and life is a travel, is a journey. And in this journey, you come across what is called twists and turns. Twists and turns. In other words, you come to areas where there is a bend. And what I mean by the bend is you're going, and then you come to a point where you can actually see the next portion. It appears that the road has come to an end. I was driving somewhere, maybe about 2 years ago. I was going to one of the country towns in Western Australia, and I was driving on a good road. You know, we have got good roads in this state and in this country, and I was driving, and then I came to a particular bend that looks like what I'm showing you now. Now the only difference was that instead of what you've got here. What you've got here was the ocean, okay? And I was traveling, I think, at 110 kilometers per hour, not speeding, okay? Just that was what was written there, okay? Okay, and then all of a sudden, I came to a bend like this. When you come to a bend like this and you find that the ocean, just what you can see over here, is the sea, you ask yourself, am I still supposed to be going at this rate? Or am I supposed to stop? There are three things that people do when they come to a bend in their life, when they can't see what happens, what is next in their future. People either stop and turn back, or the stop and stay, or the continue. Now, people stop and stay, or stop and turn back because of what they are afraid of the next thing. They can't see the next thing. Now, what you do, doing what you are afraid of, is what is called courage. You are afraid of it, but you still keep doing it because you know it's the right thing to do. That is called courage. And when we come into bends in life, I didn't say if, I said when, because it's just part of the journey. Life is a travel, and it's a very long one. It's a very long travel. And as we take this journey, we're going to come to bends and turns and places that we can't actually see what obtains at the next, you know, a few kilometers, if you want to put it in that context. What to do at that point is to possess what is called courage. Courage. And like I said, courage is doing what you are afraid to do. You are afraid to do it, but you do it all the same. Why? Because you already know that where it bends is not exactly where it ends. Where the road bends is not exactly where the road ends. And I've come across people, and I'm sure you would have, of people that actually just stop in life because they are not just sure of what's the next thing. They are afraid. Some of them are afraid of what to do. They're afraid of what they have seen ahead of the bend. Some of us have seen jungles ahead. Some of us have seen the ocean ahead. In the bend, some of us have seen different oppositions ahead. And then we stop. Some even go to the extent of actually turning back and covering some mileage in the wrong direction. Always know, people of God, that when we come to the bend in our lives, it is time to pull out what is so important, an important instrument that you need to take along in the journey of life. It is called courage. It is called courage. Now, when I talk about courage, I'm sure the kind of pictures that will come to our mind is such picture like this of soldiers in battle. Some of us will have pictures like this of athletes, you know. The Olympic has just been completed, and you see sheer power, will, you know, courage of people. Those are the pictures that come to our mind. Some of us will think of people that achieve, you know, some great feat in life. That's a man on Mount Everest. Mount Everest is said to be the highest mountain in the world, 29 feet. That's over 8,800 meters high. Some people are struggling to go on to the upstairs, you know. So when you get into this place, the air is so thin that the oxygen level is dropped. And some people are able to achieve that by sheer courage. Mount Everest is said to be the highest mountain, not necessarily the tallest mountain. That's the whole thing. Don't let's go there. But it's the highest mountain and not the tallest mountain in the world, because the height of mountains are measured from the sea level, whereas the tallness is measured from the bedrock, from where it actually started from. So that's where is the difference. But it doesn't really matter. That's a very high mountain, you know. You know. And those are the pictures that come to our mind when we're talking about courage. But sometimes we forget that courage is not just needed for those things. Courage is just needed for life, as in life, on a day-to-day basis. As a matter of fact, I can point to you, if you're able to open the page of your life, I can point to you areas in your life that courage is required right now. Now, so you're talking about the many faces of courage. It is the single mom who is working hard to raise her kids. It is the family that is currently dealing with cancer. It is the single man or the woman who chooses purity over promiscuity. It needs courage, because the tide of the world is blowing in the direction and you are taking a different stance and you're moving towards the tide. It is the student who works multiple jobs to sponsor himself or herself to complete his education. That's courage. Courage involves the teenager who faces bullying and refusing to be pushed into despair, into depression, or into suicide. That's courage. Courage involves the employee who walks away from a job because he does not wish to compromise his faith. That's courage. Because he doesn't have any other place to go to, but because he doesn't want to compromise his faith, he decides to move on. That's courage. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage for a father to insist that his children cannot do whatever they wish under his watch. It takes courage. It takes courage for a politician to choose what is right over what is popular and politically correct. It takes courage. So you will see from the examples that I've given that it's not just for the athletes. Courage is not just for the soldiers. Courage is for everyone. Everyone. And you will see in a short while that this world, the system of the universe, has been so programmed such that you only get what you have enough courage to ask for. You don't get more. Whatever you don't have enough courage to ask for, it's very unlikely that you'll get it. So courage, what it is? It is an inner strength. It's like a steel within you. It propels you. It makes you keep going even when you are afraid, even when you are scared of it, but because you know it's the right thing, you just keep going. You just keep going. It's the right thing to do, and I must press on. I must push it. I must go on. That's courage. Listen to what this man says. He says, he who loses wealth, he loses much. He who loses a friend, loses more. But he who loses courage, loses all. Because like I said, life only delivers into your hands what you have courage to ask for. And many of us we're struggling in this particular area. And that's why I believe the Lord wants to bring it across to us. The things that are in our hands are just as much as the courage that we have been able to put up in yesteryears. And if we're going to press it into the next level of our different endeavors, we need courage to press in there. You must have heard this passage of the scriptures which says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Your inner strength is small. You know, we have ways of presenting our failures to people. And because of people wanting to empathize with us, people say, well, I think you were in a difficult situation. It was the pressure that was so much. No, the Bible is not. The scripture is saying, no, if you faint, it's not because of the enormity of the pressure. It's because your strength is small. Your inner strength is small. Look at that boy. You know, people say it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. We are in a world that we are faced with enormous challenges, big, massive challenges. If we were to be able to convert those things to loads, I'm sure this place will not be able to contain the loads of challenges represented by the people sitting here right now. As a matter of fact, just a single person may actually have his own load completely filling this whole room in the enormity of the challenges that we face. So that is why it is important for us to understand that if we must get to the next level, we need something. And that something is called courage. And that was why when Moses was going to go to be with the Lord, he called the children of Israel, be strong and of good courage. When a dying man will be giving you an advice, those advices that we will provide are very key and important. It's like Moses was saying, I've seen it all. There is just one thing that you need to make sure you take on board in getting to Canaan, be strong and of good courage. And then, after speaking to the children of Israel, he called Joshua. He said, Joshua, I know you've been my boy over the years. If you must press in into that land, you've got one thing to take on board with you. You've got to be strong and of good courage. Because you're going into a land where people are not going to welcome you with fanfare, with drums, and say, hey, oh, you're welcome. Come and take our land. No. People don't welcome you that way. You have to be strong and courageous because you're going to meet opposition. That's the way it is in our lives, in all of our endeavors. We are only given as much things as we have courage to request and keep requesting for. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in life. I have come across beautiful. I've heard of stories of great companies around the world. And one thing that is so common about working in organizations is that you really find a situation where people actually just call you up and say, I just want to give you money. You know, I want to give you money. I mean, it happens. It's an exception, not the rule. You need to ask because you think you qualify for it before it is delivered into your hands. Are you getting what I'm talking about? And as long as you keep running away from taking the responsibility of asking, then don't complain to me because I'm just an employee like you. You go to the boss and ask. You have the courage to go and ask. That's the way it is in life. You ask and you make a demand for what you think belongs to you. If you faint in the days of adversity, your strength is small. People talk about, no, you know, it's so difficult to do things like this. You know, it's so difficult to be faithful, you know. The amount of things that go on around us in this society is so difficult. It would have been easier if I had come in 17, 20-something. No. If you faint in the days of adversity, your strength is small. You've heard of people who were caught in the act, you know, of cheating on their wives or on their husbands, or you know, and they say, you know, that man just kept putting pressure on me, and you know, I just gave in to the pressure. No, your strength is small. Your strength is small. Don't blame the man. Blame yourself. Your strength is small. People talk about, you know, it's so difficult to raise kids that are obedient to the Lord in this age and time because of the explosion of the internet, and then we blame the technology for everything. No, your strength is small. Your strength is small. If you faint under pressure, your strength is small. Look at what this translation says. It says, if you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. You are a featherweight. That's what he's saying. I'm translating. That's my own translation. You are a featherweight. If you faint in crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. I love the one, this translation. They say, you are a poor specimen if you can't stand the pressure of adversity. You know what a specimen is? A specimen is a sample of the whole. So if you're going to study cockroaches, for instance, you don't have to go to catch all the cockroaches in Hellenbrook. All you need to do is to look for one, okay? And you study that one as a specimen for the whole. So it represents that particular species of being. Now, people of God, I dare say this, and I say this not because I want to put anyone down. Many of us are indeed poor specimen of the body of Christ. We are indeed poor specimen because we represent the body of Christ in a bad way. When we come under pressure, our response is not a good representation of what the body of Christ entails. So when you want to examine a man, you don't drain the entire 5 liters of blood in him because you want to do a blood sample check. You know, you only just take 5 meals or 3 meals or something. This day and hour, you even just do a pinprick and that's it. That's the sample. That's the sample that you need. And we are like that. We are supposed to be samples, specimens for the kingdom, such that our responses are supposed to reflect what the body of Christ, and of course the head of the body, the Lord Jesus Christ, would if we were to be in that situation. The question I always ask myself, and I wish that many more of us would continue to ask ourselves, is how would Jesus respond if we were to be here under this situation? That's comparing yourself with the head and the entire body of the specimen. If you fall under pressure in the face of adversity, your strength is small. And that strength is talking about inner strength, weathering the storm of life, the steel that makes you. You know, people talk about men are made of steel, you know, but it's not all kinds of men. You know, there's a difference between a male and a man, you know. It's the organ that makes the male. It's the strength within that makes the man. And there are so many, you know. All right, don't let's go there. But you understand what I'm talking about? Is the strength is small. His strength is small. When you say the man in the house, you know, the man in the house, That's not the man, that's not the person that carries the male organ. It's the steel in the house. You know, it's the courage, the defender, you know. And that starts at the realm of the spirit. It's not so much of great muscles, physical muscles like me, you know. it's more of the strength within. It's more of the strength within. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is more. You don't have courage. You don't have steel within you. Now, there are different forms that this courage... Don't forget, I mean, for instance, you've had people who have conquered Everest, who have conquered the mountains, and then they will come back home, and then they will face a particular situation, maybe at work, maybe in the family, and the next thing you hear about them is that they've taken their own lives. That's not courage in the real sense of it. There could be a physical courage, but how much of inner courage has that person got? I mean, if you conquer all the world and you cannot face adversity in the family or in the social circle, then your strength is small. Your strength is small. Now, there are different forms of this, and I just want us to go through it very quickly. Now, these are the forms of courage, and they all make statements. All of these forms of courage, they make statements. The first one is bravery in the face of danger. The second is steadfastness in the face of opposition. The third is action in the face of resistance. And the fourth is optimism in the face of danger. If I look you in the face and I ask you, do you currently, as we speak now, right now, at this material point in time, do you exhibit any of those four in any area of your life, and you answered me, no. I can look you straight in the eye and tell you, you are a poor specimen. You are a poor specimen. Bravery in danger, in the face of danger. Steadfastness in the face of opposition. Action in the face of resistance. And optimism in the face of despair. The first one, bravery in the face of danger, says this: I won't be afraid. I won't be afraid. You know, when the Bible says fear not, when it says fear not, many of us think that it's saying don't have the feeling of fear. No. It's saying don't react to the feeling of fear. So there may be the feeling, but don't respond. Your response must not be in the same direction that fear expects you to follow. I won't be afraid. So courage is being scared to death and still standing up anyway. You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes says, courage is about doing what you are afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you are scared. You tell people you say people are courageous, not because they don't fear, but because they don't react to the fear. You know, years ago, as a young man, in my teenage years or something, I was walking down in I was in my 20s. That sounds like I'm an old man. No, not really, you know. I was in my 20s and I was walking somewhere and it was pitch darkness all over the place. And it was at a time when there was some kind of a war in that particular area, and people were actually being, you know, taken away and killed. I was in the medical school, and I actually had a classmate of mine who was actually killed because there was a war between two parties, two towns. And my university, my medical school happened to be in one of the towns. So in order to get to the people in our town, they kill medical students who are not even related. I wasn't from that town. I'm not from the town. But that was what they were doing. So it was pitch darkness. I was just taking a walk back to my hostel where I was living. And then a car came from nowhere in the middle of the night. We don't have the luxury of street lights. So you are the light of your own world, you know. You know. So some of us don't have any problem relating to the scripture which says, if you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. It's not difficult to appreciate because you walk in some very dark areas in the world, you know. If you're living in this part of the world, you have to create darkness to appreciate darkness. There are some parts of the world where there is that you just have to create light to see. Okay, so so I was walking there, and then this car just pulled over from my side, and then there were people there. There were I could sense that there were about four or five people in the car, you know. Of course, I was scared. I was scared because I was the only one. But I kept walking. I just kept walking as if there was nothing happening. And then after I have covered a few meters, the car came by my side again and just stopped. I just kept walking. I just kept walking. And then the third time, I was wondering what was happening. Are they trying to see how, what mechanism, what method, how to get me into the trunk of the car and all those things. But I just kept walking. I can't remember whether I was praying or whatever. But I just kept walking. That's courage. That's courage. I was afraid, but that did not stop me from doing the right thing, you know. And the end of the story was, those guys came again, and they just opened the car. They came down. They said, "Pastor," they were actually members of the church I was pastoring, you know. Can you imagine the situation we are taking to my heels? And you know, when they came around, I was like, "Oh, why are you guys doing that?" You know, I was speaking so like I was cool about it, but I wasn't. There was nothing cool about it. Anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, there are situations in life when you're afraid, but courage keeps you going, even in the face of danger. You probably have heard of this man, Viktor Yushchenko. I hope I called that correctly. Now, in 2004, this man ran for to become the president of Ukraine. And he actually became the president of Ukraine in 2005, between 2005 and 2010. But before that happened, there was an election that they had. And this election, just when it was going to be announced, the announcement was made, you know, in a state-run TV, and the person that was given the announcement said that this man had lost. He said, "I just want to tell you that Victor, whatever, had lost the presidential race with a wide margin." Now, there was a young woman by the name Natalia Mitrok, who was interpreting for the deaf community, you know, just on the corner, you know, on the right-hand corner, lower side of the TV. And as soon as the announcer regurgitated the lie, because it was a lie, that this man had lost the race, because when they were counting the poll, they actually discovered that the ruling party was the one losing. So all of a sudden, they just fabricated the lie to just get the people to assume that this man had lost. And the woman stopped right at the middle of the broadcast, a nationwide broadcast. And she started doing a sign language, which was later translated to mean that was not exactly true. Victor had not lost. In fact, Victor has won the election. And I'm so ashamed to interpret lies, something like that. And everyone was stunned. Just a mere young woman that no one actually knew in the political terrain had the courage to translate something that is against what the people that were ruling in that nation at that time had fabricated, which was lies. So as soon as she, gave out the sign language, the deaf community in Ukraine, they started sending text messages to one to another, and the news spread wide that they were trying to do something with the polls and stuff like that. And that prompted a lot of journalists who were otherwise very cowardly about the whole situation to demand that there was going to be a rerun to the election. And that led to what they refer to as the Orange Revolution. And eventually, there was a rerun kind of to that election, and this man came in. Why? Because a woman who was not even known was willing to face the opposition with some courage. So that's what it says. Two, steadfastness. in the face of opposition. It says, I won't give up. I won't give up. Winston Churchill says, courage is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. Number three, action in the face of resistance. I won't be paralyzed. I won't be paralyzed. You know, one of the things fear does to us is that it paralyzes us. It makes us just get into a stiff position. We're not able to make decisions. There was a study conducted years ago. They invited people, students, into a single room, and they had three lines drawn on the board, like the exhibit two that I've just shown here. So three lines were drawn on the board, and they will ask the students to raise up their hand each time the person conducting the interview or the person conducting the research will point to the longest of the line. You know, this one is apparently the longest of the line. You agree with me? Right. So each time the person points to the longest line, they ask the students to lift up their hands. Now, what happened is this, was that when they will ask the people to lift up their hands, there will be one person amongst the 10 who will initially raise up his or her hands when the one conducting the researcher will point to this. But by the time he or she looks around, he finds 9 people. They were bringing them in batches of 10. He or she will find 9 people whose hands were not lifted up. And then after a few seconds, the hands will go down. Now, what that one person never knew was that the other 9 people had actually been told ahead of time not to put up their hands when the longest line is being pointed at. I think I've moved a few slides here. Okay. So, when they will point to this longest line, they had already told 9 of the people not to put up their hands. So there was only one person that was actually being tested. But this man, this student will have no idea. They discovered that 75% of the students tested will first do this, and then they will do this. Because they will think, 9 people can't be wrong. Maybe I'm the one that is wrong. Why? There is no courage to stand for what is clearly seen to be the longest. Action in the face of resistance, saying, I won't be paralyzed. The entire world may be facing this direction. I know what is right, and I will stand for it. Isn't that the situation in our community these days and how? When people are more drifted into political correctness rather than standing for the truth. Why? Because there is no spine. No one has the spine to stand for what is right. And that's courage. Standing, action in the face of resistance. Optimism in the face of despair. This one says, I won't lose out. I will keep going. It may be rough, but I will keep going. That's courage. That's courage. And if you check your life, you discover that there are instances when it is easier for you to just give in and just allow things to go. People of God, anything that you allow to go of its own goes to the devil. Anything that you allow to go of its own goes to the devil. You must have the courage to keep hope alive. Listen to what this man says. He said, courage is not defined by those who fought and did not fall, but by those who fought, fell, and rose again. And that brings me to the story where we started from, the story of Moses, Joshua, and the children of Israel. Listen to what happened. As we read Joshua chapter number 1, I will start from verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. I find that quite amusing. I mean, everyone knew Moses was dead. And the first statement God was going to make in this particular instance is, Moses is actually dead, as in really dead. So don't think that he's going to come alive again. He's dead. He's gone home. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all those people, to the land that I'm given to you. To them, rather, the children of Israel. The land I am given. The land I am given. Verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. You see that? I am given in verse 2. I have given in verse 3. as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Here you find a young man. This young man had been with Moses over the years. Moses was a great man. He was a great warrior, a great prophet. In fact, the Bible says that he was regarded among the children of Israel as the greatest prophet that has ever lived. And this was a young man who was being called by God to come into this position of taking the children of Israel into this land. This was a massive, massive, massive assignment for this young man. But before he would go ahead, God said, I have an instruction for you. Now, there are so many stories of courage in the Bible. You talk about the story of Joseph, you know, you talk about the story of David and Goliath. You talk about the story of even Gideon in the Old Testament. You talk in the New Testament about the courage of the apostles, you know, as they confronted the religious world, the religious statement made by their world. And they opposed even, you know, the kingdom that was established in that day, the kingdom of Rome, and challenged it. So many great stories of courage. What I found particularly interesting in this particular story was the situation. This particular situation was set up. It was like a setup, and God was actually the one that came into the scene and was going to give this young man a very important key into having the inheritance given to the children of Israel. And he said, Joshua, in verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse number 7. Only, I love that, only be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. You remember we started with Deuteronomy chapter 31. Moses had already called the children of Israel, be strong and be courageous. And then he turned to Joshua. Joshua, you want to excel in this assignment? Be strong and be courageous. And then God came into the scene and he said, Joshua, before you go into the land, you have something that you need to take along. And that is courage. In verse number 6, be strong and courageous. And verse number 7, be strong and courageous. God does not have speech impediments. So it's not like he's saying what he did not remember he said before. This was for the purpose of emphasis. Joshua, you want to excel in this assignment? Take courage along. I have given the land to you, but I'm going to give it into you, into your hands, when you have enough courage to pursue it. That's what he's saying. You remember we saw the word given in verse number 2. I am given to them. And then in verse number 3, I have given you. There are things that the Lord has given us as people, as children of the kingdom. But experientially or vitally, we will only take possession of it if we have the courage to ask for it. When I say ask, I'm not talking about asking in prayer now. I'm talking about taking steps to actually take hold of what has been given unto us. That's exactly what God was telling Joshua in this place. Be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. In verse number 9, I will skip verse number 8. I will come to that in a short while. In verse number 9, it said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. If you were Joshua, what were you going to say? God, you said that before. I mean, you've said that twice before. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. In other words, if you don't take this element along, I can't see you taking possession of what I've given to you. Be strong and of good courage. And people of God, there are areas in your life where you are still praying to God and asking him. When he's only telling you, take courage, move forward. You remember the story of Moses? Moses and the children of Israel, they were by the sea, the Red Sea. And Moses was crying to the Lord, Lord, help me. What am I going to do? And God spoke to Moses, said, take these children of Israel, let them move forward. Move forward to where? Into the Red Sea? Just move forward. Courage is what takes us into the forward action against opposition. And people of God, I want to challenge you this day. It is important that we take courage in this very timid world We have timidity everywhere. Everyone is telling you, be cautious. Don't do it. It's dangerous. You won't make it. Be courageous, people of God. If he has told you, if he has spoken to your heart, if you believe that the Lord is leading you to do it, go forward. Be courageous. So he said, have I not commanded you? Now, these are the things that I want you to appreciate about courage. Number one, courage is not just a gift that some people are born with. Courage is cultivable. By that I mean you can actually plant it and water it and develop it and grow in it. And grow in it, and grow in courage, and grow in the inner resolve to be able to face challenges and press on. I'm not sure whether you have even gone, you've seen, you know, when couples will want to go and buy something, maybe at the shops, you know, and then they will get there and then they will be debating about what to buy and not to buy. And then they will keep saying, okay, you choose. No, you choose. Okay, you choose. Oh, no, you choose. And then at the end of the day, they'll say, okay, let's go home. You know why? The simple reason is because no one wants to get blamed for buying the wrong thing. Has that happened to you? Don't look at anyone. Just look at me, okay? but a man or a woman of courage will say, let's take it. Yes, I put my hand on it. Blame me for it. That's the reason why many homes and families don't move forward, because there is no one that wants to stick out their neck to make a decision for the family to move forward. There is no courage. Everyone is just like a sheep, no shepherd. And this is very dangerous. And that's why it is important for us to know it is not something that people are born with. It is something that we develop, we cultivate. And I will show you in a short while how we develop and cultivate it. So courage is cultivable. Courage is cultivable. The second thing I want you to know from the statement that the Lord made to Joshua is courage is commanded. Courage is commanded. Look at what it says in verse number 9. In verse number 9, it says, have I not commanded you? So, courage in an attempt to achieve God's purpose for our life is not a suggestion. It's not an advice. We need to take it in the realm of at the level and the platform of it being a commandment. And I'm so glad that the Lord has made it a commandment, because he understands that life only delivers into your hands what you have enough courage to ask for. Life only delivers into your hands what you have enough courage to pursue. And that's why it comes, as it were, at the level of it being a commandment. You know, we all shiver when it comes to the Ten Commandments, because we know do not steal, do not, you know, we know all the do nots. Now, if we can begin to see courage, taking courage as a commandment, then it will change the ball game entirely for us. It is commanded. Have I not commanded you? Another translation says this way. It says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Joshua, I'm giving you a command. You can call it the 11th command, don't worry. But this is my command, be strong and be courageous. Because we're going to come to bends in life. We're going to come to turns in life. And it is only courage that will make us to pursue and move forward when we come to the bend of life. It is only courage that will make us to appreciate that wherever it bends in life is not where it ends in life. It is courage. So courage is a command. It's commanded. We are commanded to be courageous people. And like I said, I've cited a couple of examples of where we can demonstrate courage without necessarily having to go and be registered as part of the athletic federation or part of people who climb mountains and stuff like that. We can actually demonstrate courage in our day-to-day endeavors, you know, in our family, in making decisions, you know, at our workplaces. We can make a stand for righteousness, you know, amongst our people, amongst our friends. Many of us, when we have a different opinion, when we are just in the circle of friends and everybody agrees about something, especially things that we know is completely contrary to what the Bible says, we don't even have the courage to say, no, I don't believe that. We don't have the courage to say that because we are afraid of losing friends. I mean, there's nothing wrong in saying, well, I mean, that may be your belief, but this is where I stand. This is what I believe. That's courage in a simple form. It's courage. So courage is cultivable. Courage is a command. Now, on what does our courage rest? On what does the courage of Joshua supposed to rest? If you study that passage very well, you will discover that it is supposed to rest on these three things. Number one, on his promise. God is not asking Joshua to pursue the land just for pursuing the land's sake. He's asking Joshua to lead the people into the land because he has a promise, the promise of the fact that he has given it to them. The promise was already on ground. It was non-negotiable. So asking you to be courageous today, people of God, is because God has promised that he will give you that thing. It is, as far as the heaven is concerned, a done deal. It is given. So it is on the platform of his promise. And then it's on the platform of his presence. He says, I'm asking you to go into that land, but I'm going to be with you all the way. Every single step you take, I'm going to take it with you. I'm not just sending you into some jungle. I'm going to be with you every single step. So it's based on his promise. It's based on his presence. And of course, it's based on his provision. What's the provision? And we're going to see that in a short while as we round up. The provision is his word. The provision is his word. Because that's the way you actually get this courage. Now, I don't know whether you have heard of people who have had to get intoxicated in order to be able to do the thing that they want to actually do. That's what I call the courage by intoxication. Courage by intoxication. You know, they want to say something to someone, but they don't have the courage to do it. So what they do is that they go and get some alcohol and just drown themselves in it, and they come and say, you know, I want to tell you something, you know. Does that sound like no, I've not been there before. Okay. You know, that's courage by intoxication. You get something that, so you come under an influence, as it were. You know what you want to do, but you don't have the steel, the strength to do it. So you get intoxicated. Years ago, there was supposed to be a graduation ceremony in the university, and the student union they were having some troubles with the authority of the school. And so they came to this young man who was the president of the student union, and they said, you know, we need to go and disrupt the graduation ceremony. And the graduation ceremony is a big thing, massive thing. People come from all over the country, and sometimes even outside the country, to come and witness their children, you know, graduating from the university. So this particular event was supposed to take place in an amphitheater in the university. And then all the guests were already there. The vice chancellor was there. The representative of the governor. Everyone was already seated. Of course, the parents, you know, with families and the graduating students. Everyone was already seated. Now, unknown to them, there was a different plan by the student union. Now, the young man that was the president of the student union at that time was a medical student. And medical students don't have the steel to cause trouble, you know, usually, you know. So this man would not want to do it. He would naturally not want to do it. But so what they did was that they took the entire team of the leading, you know, the executives. They went into a place overnight and they just got drunk. They just toughed themselves up. So that in the morning, as they were coming straight from wherever jungle they had been with alcohol overnight, they all came straight into the amphitheater where that event was taking place. And this young man, who was a young, responsible man, started talking nonsense. There was a different spirit upon him that day. And the lambasted the vice chancellor, lambasted all the guests, and disrupted the whole thing, basically. And because he needed something to do what he wanted to do, he wouldn't have been able to do it in his clear mind. That's the courage that comes by intoxication. It comes by intoxication. Now that is very similar to how the Lord wants us to acquire this courage that he's calling us to do. He's asking us to do something. Now, look at verse number 8 of the passage we have just read in Joshua chapter number 1. And you will see something that was just put in there, and you'll be asking yourself, why is it here? Why is verse 8 here? We're talking about courage. Be strong and of good courage. In verse 7, be strong and of good courage. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. And verse 9, be strong and of good courage. And then you have verse number 8 being put in there. Why? There must be a link, surely, between courage and what is written in verse number 8. If the theme and the context of chapter number 1, the passage we have just read, was actually addressing courage. He said, to be able to acquire this courage, this is what you're going to do. And this is our pathway to intoxication, people of God. This is our pathway to intoxication. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, to be able to get intoxicated, to begin to do this crazy thing that I've asked you to do, this is how you're going to achieve it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in the end. For then you, not I, I've done my part. I've given you the land. You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Why? Because you will be intoxicated enough to do the crazy thing that I'm asking you to do. That's the way. That's the way it goes, people of God. And this is the way to grow courage. People don't grow courage reading all sorts of junks that we read. People get courage bombarding their minds and their spirit with the word of the Lord. That's where you get intoxicated. This is the spirit intoxication. You are inoculated with something that is above you, and then you start staggering, you know, and misbehaving, as it were, because you have been intoxicated. People of God, it is time to begin to bombard our spirit man with things that will help us to gain courage. All this, and there's nothing wrong about, you know, information about the people around the world, about the star that we love and we adore. But all this boyfriend breakup, patch up news, they don't build courage. They don't build courage. What we need to stuff our spirit man with is an intoxication of the spirit. And that comes by the meditation on the word. And you just keep thinking about it. And something just erupts in your mind and in your spirit, man. In my house, there are instances when I would just come out of the room and say, yeah! And my wife would say, yeah, you got it? I said, I got it. There is an intoxication. Something just got revealed all of a sudden. So don't take me like a madman, but that's what happened. Because something just got revealed to you as you bury yourself in this word. And I'm not just talking about the study time. I'm talking about a meditation, a continuous thing that happens in your car, at your workplace. It's just something you think and meditate upon. That's where the intoxication comes. Now, this is what the Bible has to say in Ephesians chapter number 5. And it's comparing this with the same thing that we're talking about. And I'll just show you, and then we'll bring this to a close. That's the courage by intoxication. What happens to us is we usually take a sip of the word, you know, just like a small coffee, you know, a sip of the word. That does not intoxicate you. And that's why sometimes you say, but I read sometimes, you know, I think about God's word sometimes. But you're not intoxicated. You know, when you went to get high, you don't just drink a glass. I'm not sure whether there is a glass or maybe there are some very, very strange whiskey of some 15, 20%. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know. But you know, these things comes in grade, you know. But generally speaking, people will have, you know, you will have seen a lot on their tables. And then when they stand up and they look at you, they will see like four people and they will do like this. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You have experienced it before. And if there's anyone in this house who is still struggling with that, it's a dangerous path to tread. Stop. I'm talking about stuffing yourself with alcohol. It's a dangerous path to tread. And stop. You know, we're still in this age and time when people still, you know, the Bible says, you know, you take a little. When are we going to grow up? You know, that's immaturity. You're still talking about the level of alcohol you need to take to get intoxicated, the one that is admissible, that is admissible rather, in the kingdom. Come on, grow up, people of God. Grow up, people of God. So back to what we're talking about, Ephesians chapter number 5. He says this. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself. I love that. You know, what are songs? Songs are words, okay, that you put together and it becomes melodious. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So those songs come from words, and those words come from your heart. If it was not in the heart, it will never come out of your mouth. If the words never came out of your heart, it will never become a song. Psalms talks about the spiritual songs. So those are words that are in your spirit, man. And it says, speak this to yourself. I have often wondered when we believers gather together and we have discussion and chat, I have often wondered why some of the chat that we have sometimes does not even reflect that we are even believers. You know, you can come into the place where three or four women are talking, and you will not, after listening to them for 30 minutes, you won't even be able to distinguish whether they are believers or not, because their mind and their worldview and the way they process things is just like any other person. Why? Because the heart is not filled. The heart is not filled. I believe that if we have our hearts filled, when we have a discussion, when we have, you know, a chat, it's going to filter out. We will process it. And sometimes you will be able to say, you know, the word says, you know. You're not trying to behave like you know more, but that's just the way it is, people of God. It is time to get intoxicated. It is time to get intoxicated. Read the word, study the word, hear the word. Bombard your entire atmosphere with the word of the Lord. You know, somebody says, so I don't have a relaxation time. Of course you do, but I'm saying, put more of the word in your spirit, man. Get intoxicated. Become high. Let the spirit, you know, they talk about the spirit of the green bottle when you have already stopped yourself with so much. But this is talking about the spirit of the Lord, because you are bombarded with the word, and then your process, the way you accumulate, the way you process things, is just because the word is residing in your heart. By the grace of God, there are times in my car, you know, you can tell your car what you want to hear. That's the beauty of it. You know, you can say you want to hear the news or whatever. I just bombard that car I make that car born again for me, you know, in the period of my travels. You know, there are instances when I just switch off everything. No sounds, no words. I just want to listen to my spirit, man. You know, that's the thing. You know, it's not like you say, oh, meditation time, 2 hours, walk into it. It may not happen that way. It's a way of life. Just thinking about the word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You are going into your car. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? And the spirit of the Lord will begin to bombard. That's when courage comes. That's when strength comes. That's when steel comes. That's when vitality comes. And then you come at the end of the day and you say, I'm going to do that. And people will look at you as you are crazy. Of course, you are crazy because you have been under that influence. It's the influence of the Holy Spirit. People of God, let's take courage. Let's take courage. Let's take courage. We have come to a day and hour when only courage will get us to the next level. This is your spirit. This is the way you are in the realm of the spirit. That's the way you are in the spirit realm. That's the way you are in the spirit realm. A lion which is mighty among the beasts and does not turn away from any. Now, don't behave like this. You are a lion built after the master's order. The Bible calls him the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion does not give back to goats, you know. It gives back to lion. That's your status in the realm of the spirit. Take courage, people of God. If there is anything that the Lord has laid upon your heart, don't leave it till next year, not in 2 years' time. Charge forward. Request for it. Take steps for it, towards it. Somebody say, what if I fail? That's part of life. That's part of life. If you never try, you never know whether it will work. Give it a go. And you'll be surprised how much of the heavens is waiting, asking you to take the step. You are calling, Lord, help. The Lord is saying, take courage. I've given it. Move forward. People of God, this is the way that the Lord wants us to take our stand as people, as children of God. Let's take courage. There's so much in life to accomplish for Jesus. But those things don't get accomplished when we sit down and maintain the status quo. Let's take courage. Let's take courage to address things in our home. Let's take courage to address things in our children. Let's take courage to address things in our family members and friends. Let's take courage to speak the word to our parents, our loved ones and family members. Let's take courage to talk to the people in our places of work. Let's take courage to resist the pull of the world. Let's take courage. God bless you. Let's pray.